message today. We're in the series called Breakthrough, and I just got to tell you, I've been so encouraged. There's been a lot of life change that's going on in people's lives. Not always it positive. There's been some hard moments and some hard conversations, but I've also received numerous emails from some of you about how God's moving in you and through you and how he's made a difference in somebody that you loved, or maybe he set you free from some bondage, and that is some really cool stuff. Matter of fact, the last two services, we had people all up here at the front at the end of the service asking God to work on their behalf and in their body and in their family. And just so you know, before we get going too much further, I think we got some, you guys got that, right? That feedback? Got you. Okay. Not sure. Sometimes, no matter how good, and we got the best up there, I'm telling you that right now. Soundboards have a way of their own sometimes. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Here's what I want you to know before we get into the Word today. My heart for you, I've been praying about this day, this Sunday, for a while, because not only are you going to hear the Word of God, you're visually going to see the Word of God, and then we're going to give you an opportunity, if the Holy Spirit nudges so, to experience God for you in this moment. And so just so you know, at the very end, we will give an altar call. We'll give you an opportunity to come forward and be prayed with and be prayed over and to be prayed for if you choose to do so. But today, I've entitled this message, Pardon the Interruption, Not. I don't know about you, but interruptions happen all the time. They slow us down. They delay our day. They cause us to have to wait when we're in a hurry. Sometimes they interfere with our interests. They prevent our present moment pursuits. But here's what I do know. For the person who's instigating the interruption, usually it's pretty important to them. And so there's a lot of commonplace interruptions, right? You could agree that sometimes there's those inconvenient interruptions. So, for example, anybody drive down State Road 13 lately? You feel it, the inconvenient interruption with the dude with the slow sign? I swear there are times that they just turned that sign. They were waiting for me to go, I'm going to slow on you, dude. And then, like, you got to wait for 10 minutes. Maybe you've experienced that inconvenience interruption. There are also interruptions like power outages, or maybe this one. Maybe somebody in the family. Maybe it's you. You got sick. Maybe it's not even a sickness. Have you ever had? I mean, you talk about inconvenience. You ever had one of those bloody noses? Like, really now? I gotta get out the door now. I gotta deal with this. It seemed like that happened a lot of times in our family. And then you have the invited interruptions, right? For example, my staff. There are times I'll tell my administrative assistant, "Here's the deal. I'm going to shut my door, my blind's coming down, and I don't want any interruptions at all, except if my wife were to call. Only family and emergency gets put through, because I got to really focus." But there are some interruptions that are invited into my life. Just like for you, maybe you're waiting on a phone call to receive that job opportunity you've been waiting for and praying for. Or perhaps it's maybe good news because you have a granddaughter or grandson just born and you've been waiting to hear when that's going to happen. Not all invitations, though, or interruptions are invitations. Sometimes there are intrusive interruptions, right? Have you ever had those times? Like, even now, maybe you're watching the NCAA tournament and the game is tied, there's 20 seconds left in the game, and it feels like sometimes at the worst inopportune times this happens to you. You know what I'm talking about? Are you kidding me? No, stop, go away. And then you have to figure out who won the game afterwards because it didn't come back on in time. Those are the intrusive interruptions. Or maybe for you, it's a flat tire on the way to an important function, and like, are you kidding me? I didn't need this right now. There are the intentional interruptions. Have you ever had that, or knock on the door? Sorry to interrupt, but have you ever just wanted to be honest with them for a second? Like, instead of being the nice guy all the time, sorry for the interruption, but no, you're not. You're not sorry at all. Because if you're really sorry, you wouldn't have interrupted me. But you have now, so what do you need, right? I mean, let's just be real. I mean, we all do that. We all say nice things, and we meant to interrupt. That's when at work somebody says, "Hey, you got just a minute of your time," which turns into 2 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of your time, right? But interruptions sometimes are important. But interruptions are important subjectively. Matter of fact, for the one who's interrupting, it's always important to you, but maybe not to the person who's receiving the interruption. Well, today's message, we're going to see how an interruption brought an immediate life change to one person and expanded the faith of another. If you have your Bibles, join me, the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. You can find this same story recorded in Matthew. You can find it also in Mark, but I'm going to use Luke's Gospel, and I'm going to share a little bit about Mark's perspective, which is a little bit different than the good doctor. For those of you who didn't know, Luke is a physician, but he also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40, here's what it says. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." But hearing this, Jesus turned and he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." And when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. I want to talk to you a little bit about what happens when interruptions intersect one another. Jesus' disciples had just crossed back over the Sea of Galilee, the lake, and they had just performed some miracles. Matter of fact, Jesus had just delivered a man who was possessed by a demonic force. And as the news spread, as they began to come in on the boat to land, it says that a large crowd had gathered to welcome this miracle worker. And yet, here's the cool part. Amongst this entire huge crowd of people, there are two extremely different yet equally desperate individuals. Luke tells us that one is a man by the name of Jairus. And he gives us a little background about Jairus. He said he was a man who was known for in his community for his leadership. We know that he was highly respected, highly visible to his town. We know that he had a joy of having a family. He lived in community. He had a wife and a daughter, and he had friends. And we also know he was a leader in the synagogue. We know from the original text that we're quite confident that not only was he a leader in the synagogue, he was probably the president, if you will, or the ruling official in the synagogue. In other words, he had the responsibility to warn and to guide the assembly away from any heresy or false teachers that might try to make their way into the synagogue. That being true, Jairus would have heard of Jesus. He would have known about Jesus. He would have known how all the other Jewish leadership felt about this man, Jesus. Jairus was not a follower of Jesus, but that was about to change because he had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was dying. His little girl doesn't have much time. She's fading. She's slipping away quickly. And so Jairus throws all caution to the wind. This desperate dad finds and seeks out Jesus, falls at his feet, and begins to beg and to plead with him to come to his home that he might heal his daughter. Now, you have to understand what just happened in that moment. This man was so desperate that he knew that by falling at Jesus' feet, and as the ruler, the leader of the synagogue, he would probably be removed from his position of leadership. That the religious establishment, those who were his friends, his family, the elite religious people would probably shun him now. But he didn't care. It was an interruption that had to be initiated and originated out of a dad's desperation. You see, Jairus knew that Jesus was his last hope. He had been hemorrhaging hope quickly, and that if anybody was going to help his daughter, it had to be this man they called Jesus. And so, as Jesus makes his way with Jairus to Jairus' home, I can only imagine Jairus knifing in and out of the crowds, Jesus in tow. Can you kind of picture it a little bit? He's dodging in, he's dodging out, he's going in between people, and the sea of the people, there's this sweatiness about them as they bang and they bump into one another. I can almost see Jairus saying, excuse me, hey, get out of the way, merge right, coming through. And they're trying to make their way through the crowd as quickly as possible. It's almost like an ambulance on its way to an emergency that gets stuck in traffic. And it's in this moment, as they're trying to navigate through the crowds, that the good Dr. Luke breaks away from Jairus' story and goes on into this tangent as if randomly giving us the backstory and medical history of some unknown, unnamed woman. It's like Jairus is trying to get Jesus to his home, and all of a sudden, oh, by the way, there's this woman, right? She's known for her condition, and her condition had caused her to be shunned and scorned and isolated. She experienced sadness because she lost her family. You see, this condition was equal to contamination. And if you were contaminated with this condition, the rule of the day was if you were to touch anybody or they were to touch you, you would make that person unclean. And so this woman probably had lost her husband. If she had children, she'd be separated from them because of her condition. She lived isolated, shunned and scorned by everyone. So that meant she was barred from entering into the synagogue. She wasn't able to go in and receive the teaching. She wasn't able to go into the community of faith and experience worship together. We know that she's for 12 years had this continuous bleeding. Think about it. This woman has been bleeding for the same number of years that Jairus' daughter has been alive. She's discharging blood, but no one can heal her. I like how Mark's gospel adds what Dr. Luke left out. Mark says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. Now, I don't know if Mark and Luke ever had a conversation, but I could imagine Mark in that moment going, thanks a lot, Mark, you really had to put that in there, huh? As if to shame the medical profession. But she tried everything. Everything had failed. See, like Jairus, who hemorrhaged hope quickly because his daughter was dying, she was hemorrhaging hope slowly over an extended amount of time. And yet she came to the same place that Jairus did. Jesus is her last hope. I want you to take a look at the screen for a moment. I want you just to look about how different these two individuals were. One was a highly visible, highly respected leader in the community. The other was shunned, scorned, and isolated from the community. And yet, as you make your way down the list, these both have something in common. They are in the crowd that day, and Jesus is their only hope. Luke tells us that this woman came up behind Jesus, and she thought, if I can just touch fringe of his garment, if I could just touch, I could be healed. And as she lunges forward and grabs him as he walks through the crowd, the Bible says that she touched his cloth, she was immediately, the bleeding stopped. And immediately, Jesus stopped. And he says, who touched me? And since nobody would come forward, again, Peter opens his mouth and leans into Jesus and said, what are you talking about? We're all smashed in here together. What do you mean? Everybody's touching you. So Jesus says, no, somebody touched me. I felt power leave me. I can almost imagine when Jesus said that, he's almost like saying to everybody around him, listen, we're not going any further until we sort this out. You see, this lady, she didn't want to be noticed by anybody. She had already been isolated and scorned and shunned. She just wanted to touch in faith his garment, believing she would be healed, and she was. And then she wanted to sneak away in the crowd and go back to where she lived all alone. But Jesus would have none of it. He says, no, power left me, and we're not going any further until we sort this out. I can only imagine the lady sitting here going, oh, man, he's not going to let this go. He's not going to let this go. And so finally she owns it and fesses up. It was me. Okay, it was me. And Luke tells us right then and there, she fell at Jesus' feet and she begins to unpack her story so everyone can hear. Now imagine, while this is transpiring, Jairus is standing beside Jesus. And I got to think he's thinking, you're kidding me, right? Listen, tragic story, lady, but my girl's dying. Lady, you've waited 12 years. What's a couple more hours? Jesus, let's go. We got to get to my little girl. But Jesus wouldn't budge. Jesus stayed right where he was. Two interruptions intersected one another, and the delay became a doorway for one. See, interruptions often become opportunities. Jesus was not going to allow this woman just to kind of sneak in and have a touch-and-go moment. No, see, Jesus had something more for this woman than what she even knew she needed. He saw the despair. He saw the hurt, the broken heart from being isolated and separated from community for years. And he also knew that what he did for her, everyone else needed to take witness to, because she would have a new identity. She would be now clean in front of everybody. It says that the woman came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. And when she did, Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter. She's never heard anybody call her any term with affection like that. Matter of fact, you can search the New Testament Bible and you'll find another place where Jesus ever calls anybody daughter. Not any other woman, he says daughter, but to this lady here. He says, I want to make sure you understand something. You don't get just a touch and go miracle and get out of here. No, you see, I want you to understand it's your faith that made you well. It's your faith. It wasn't my garments. It was that you believed in me. That you believed that I had the power to heal you. Not only to heal you, but to give you a new identity. Today I call you daughter. You're a part of a new family. I know you've been separated from yours for 12 plus years, but today is a new day. Healing has come to you. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You know what that literally means? It literally means go into peace. Here's what he says to her. Daughter, get up. Walk out from this place physically and spiritually healed. I imagine in that moment, as Jesus uttered those words, there was shock and awe in the crowd. I'm thinking there were probably even some that weren't even sure what to do. They kind of like maybe some of us, like, well, maybe we just, should we applaud? Hey, yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Jairus probably had a little bit, yeah, this is awesome. Also, a little bit of smile, but then there's also that part and says, oh, wow, man, that's great. That's great for you. It truly is. Jesus, can we go now? My daughter, please. Jesus, she's on death's doorstep. The Bible says this. Luke tells us that while Jesus was still speaking, watch this, interruption. Someone came from the house of Jairus, synagogue leader, said, your daughter's dead. No need to bother the teacher anymore. Yet hearing this, Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. She will be healed. Jairus, don't be afraid. Hey, my friend, listening here today. God is looking at you, and I don't know what you're going through today, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's relational, whether it's mental. Maybe God is saying, listen to me, I know you, don't be afraid. Just believe, only believe. that only believe, here's what he's saying to Jairus. You didn't even know me. You've heard of me. And yet your faith lets you know, you believe that I could heal you. You asked me to come to your home because you had faith to believe that I could heal your little girl. We are making our way there, and now you get news that she's dead. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Only believe. In other words, he says, keep on believing what you already had started. Don't give up on me yet, Jesus says. Trust me. See, Jairus wanted Jesus to be his daughter's healer. But Jesus had made Jairus wait in order to touch another woman's physical ailment and heal her. Made Jairus wait until it was too late. And now there is no other hope. It's a hopeless situation. Except for these words, do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be healed. Jairus' faith didn't see just Jesus healing his daughter. Jairus got to see Jesus with resurrection power under his own roof. Today, some of you need to experience resurrection power. Like Jairus, like the woman, you need to reach out and touch Jesus and let Jesus to touch you. Maybe like the song we've been singing through the series a little bit, God of the Breakthrough. I've nowhere else to go. I've nowhere else to turn. So I'm kneeling at your door. Come here. Come near, God. Come here. Come near. Miracle maker, my hope and my savior, you haven't failed me yet. You haven't failed me yet. Because he's the God of the breakthrough. What about you today? What about you? Would you reach out to Jesus? We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. We don't have a preoccupied God who's too busy to notice your need. We don't have this unemotional Savior who runs the universe like some high-powered executive of a company who has no sensitivity or concern toward you. This is a God who loves you. This is a God who's waiting for you to step out in faith and trust him, to not lose faith, but to not be afraid and just believe and keep on believing. Some of you need that today. Some of you walked in and you're just like, I don't know what else to do. Keep believing. Just believe and know that nothing is impossible for Jesus. Nothing is impossible for Jesus. My friend, nothing that scares you scares God. Nothing that is too big for you is too big for Jesus. Nothing that is impossible for you is impossible for Jesus. And today, I just want you not only to hear the word of God, I want you to see the word of God and put yourself in that story. And in just a little bit, we're going to give you the opportunity to respond if you would like to reach out and touch Jesus today, because he's in the room. He's here with us in spirit, and he has power for your life to experience a breakthrough. But I just want to give kudos, applaud to the people, the inspiration of the people who put together The Chosen. I don't know how many have seen that. I don't know about you. I've seen this clip. I can't tell you how many times. And every stinking time, I've got tears going down my face. May this bless you. May you not only hear the word of God, may you see the word of God in action. And then after this clip, we're going to give you your opportunity to experience that same life-changing power if you would reach out to Jesus. Take a look.
I know you.
Do you? Stand with me.
I have heard and I have read accounts from someone I trust. You do miracles, right? You are a healer?
Of more than just physical maladies, yes.
Do please. My daughter is dying.
I'm so sorry.
But come. Come and lay your hands on her. And she will live.
You've never met me. Yet you have this much faith that I can heal your daughter.
I know you. Please.
Take me to her.
Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yusuf! Rabbi Yusuf!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, please, I have a promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Just a scarf.
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge, I promise. You are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
Thank you.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. But I'm so glad that we found each other.
Between you and her, it's quite a big day of faith.
It's just up ahead. Do you hear that? No. What is this?
Jairus, while you were gone...
No. Why do I hear mourners and flutes? I said not to do that. She was sick.
Your daughter passed away. We had to make arrangements quickly.
No. No, I went to find the teacher. He was going to heal her.
I know who you are. Let's not trouble him anymore. Michal is with Nili's body.
No! No, I was getting Jesus. I went as fast as I could.
Do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be well.
Jairus. Jairus, let's go in. Please stay here.
She will be well. All of you, stop it. I said stop. What are you doing?
There's a girl. She's dead.
Go away. For she isn't dead, but sleeping.
What is all this laughing?
He said she's only asleep.
What a cruel thing to say.
Do you know who you're talking to?
If you were a member of the family, I would invite you in to see just how dead she is. What are you, a necromancer? Shame on you for saying such a ridiculous thing.
Everyone out. You heard him.
Boys, take everyone outside.
Right.
We were paid to play.
You listen to me right now.
Come, let's give them a moment.
Michal.
Where were you?
I was finding this man.
She is dead and you were gone. Why would you just leave us like that?
Trust me. Please trust me and trust him.
What? For what?
Please.
I know.
No. No.
Everyone in this room, please listen to me carefully. Simon, James, John, Jairus, Michal, and Nili. None of you are to say a word about this to anyone under any circumstances. Do I make myself clear? No one. Not even to the others.
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
It is not yet time for the commotion that will result. None of you need the attention. Not all of it will be good.
Whatever you command, we shall do.
Nili, you must be hungry.
How can I thank you? I don't understand what you did, but...
You're welcome. Let's just get Nili something to eat first.
Oh, wait. Nili, come on. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no other words. Thank you.
Thank you for your faith. I pray that more in the synagogue will share it.
Come. Yeah, it's all right. The Word of God says this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so in just a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity. We're going to worship for a little bit. But while we worship, while we sing, these altars will be open. Matter of fact, I'm going to have some of my pastors come right now. Pastor Tim Comfort's over here. Pastor Tom's here. Come on up, guys. Pastor Todd, Pastor Tim's over here. I'm going to have Pastor Tim come join me here at the middle, and they'll have guys along the way. And we're going to have anointing oil in our hands. The Bible says this, if there's any sick among us, let us anoint them with oil and have the elders or the people of the church leadership pray over them, and the sick person will become well. The Bible says you don't receive, you don't ask. And so here's the thing. Today, we're going to give you the opportunity to step out in faith. And if you need a physical touch, if maybe it's physically for you and you want to be anointed by oil as you confess Christ, that we will pray with you. Will God heal you instantly? He might. I don't know. Maybe he'll use modern medicine and doctors and discernment. Maybe his answer will be to you not the way you hope, my child, but my grace will be sufficient in your weakness. But here's what we do know. If we don't ask, we don't receive. Just like a kid to their father. Daddy, here's what I like. And then we leave it to the daddy's best judgment. That's what we're going to do. but we're going to be obedient to the Word of God. But before we do that, I just wanted you to understand that the same God that you saw portrayed on that screen is the same God that's in this room with us today. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You're the same God. You answered prayers back then. You answer prayers even now because you're the same God. You were providing for them then. You are providing now because you're the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You're the same God. You were a healer then. God, be a healer now because you're the same God. Oh, God. My God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. Oh, rock of ages. I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness I stand because you are that same God. If the Lord tugs upon your heart and you want to come be anointed, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray, and then you come if you'd like. Or stay where you're at and worship the Lord. God, in this moment, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Fill this room with a fragrance of faith, God. And for the one who carried that in today, whatever it was, help them know they don't bear it alone as they leave. Don't let them lose faith. Do not let them be afraid, but only believe and keep on believing that nothing is impossible for Jesus Christ. God, we believe that, and today we want to lay our faith down beside those with faith, and we're going to ask you to move and have breakthrough in people's lives and in their families. God, there will be some who will come for their own healing today. There will be some that may come up front to be anointed, not for themselves, but for somebody else whom they love, who, God, they've been praying, they've been wanting breakthrough, but it's just not happened. And so they're going to come and stand in their place and say, as you anoint me, I'm standing in for somebody else. And God, on my faith, would you move in their life? Would you take a heart of stone and make it flesh again? God, would you just do a renewal work, a transforming work in my loved one's life? And so, God, for whatever reason they come, would you meet them here in this moment? That same God, the one who is yesterday, today, and forever. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come.